Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Brie.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
Yes, we do.
How about you?
Yeah, what are you all doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing with your life?
What are you doing for us? What can we hear?
Yeah. Point us in the direction of your podcast. Are you as cool as we are?
Doubt it.
We're going to lose it. Like, oh, self-entitled girls. We're leaving this podcast.
Bye. Same guys, same.
So today, it is season 3, episode 9. And we are doing Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption, aka the Shawshank Redemption.
Yes, the movie is the Shawshank Redemption. I'm kind of glad. The book is Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank.
That's such a mouthful.
Yeah, I know. When I was first looking at like the inside stuff of the book, it said Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. I was like, oh, is there another short story with this? And then I started reading it and I was like, oh, no, it's all the same story.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Stephen King wanted to make us say a bunch.
Yeah. Yep. Makes sense.
Yes. All right. So let's see our picture painting.
Mm-hmm.
We just saw the Taylor Swift concert movie thing today.
Yes, we did. That was fun.
Yeah. Super fun.
Yeah. I actually knew all the songs.
Well, I'm proud of you.
I was impressed.
I did not.
I was like, yeah, I could sing this one. Oh, I can sing this one too.
Riley and I went down and we danced our hearts out. Passed out friendship bracelets, but we sat for half the songs because we did not know them.
My favorite is two songs into it, I hear Tyler go, can we go home?
Oh no.
And he's just bouncing and I'm looking at your poor mom.
Oh no.
She looked at me and was like, yeah. I was like, uh-oh. So then we're sitting there and she said, she was like, Bad Blood is his favorite song, so I'm waiting for that, but I know it's gonna be in it. And I was like, oh no. And then like two songs after that, I look over, Tyler's passed out. I was like, oh, he's loving it.
Yes. He's like, gosh, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Well,
John also played Pokemon while at it. So.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. The boys were just having that great time.
Yeah. They're like, why did we come? I told John, I was like, look, are you about to be like Tyler? And he looked and was like, oh, is he having a good time?
So, I have Taylor Swift songs stuck in my head right now. That's where my brain is at.
Same. Okay. I have Willow stuck in my head.
Did she sing that one?
More than you say, the less I know. Everywhere you go, I follow. It's with the orange lights.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like right at the beginning.
No.
Isn't that one of her first?
Evermore, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. It came after.
That was one of them did not know.
Oh. That's one of my favorites.
It was good. I really liked it. I know. I went through a Taylor Swift phase where I was mad at her for leaving country music.
Yeah.
And so I stopped listening to her for a while. Mm-hmm. And now I regret it because I'm like, oh, these are actually really good songs.
I'm not a fan of her Reputation album, but I like the rest of it.
Yeah. The ones she sang were the best ones off her album.
Mm-hmm. Except for she didn't sing Gorgeous, and that's my other favorite one off of Reputation.
Oh, that is a good one. Mm-hmm. I also like Getaway Car. Is that on Reputation? Oh.
Yes, I think so. It's either that one or Lover. Oh, nope. It's Reputation.
Okay. But anyways, so.
Yeah.
But.
Fun.
My little Swiftie, Taylor. Riley was loving it. And I told her, I was like, did you know Taylor Swift's birthday is the day before yours? She goes, oh, what? What else? What happened? Taylor did something in the movie. And Riley's like, we need to be best friends. I was like, you and Taylor would definitely be best friends. Oh, gosh.
Oh, because she said the thing about having cat hair all over her, huh?
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Yes. Oh, gosh. Anyways, sorry, guys. This is not what this episode's about.
Nope.
It's where our brains are at. Anyways, so we're doing The Shawshank Redemption, as we said. So let's...
Did you do all this?
I did.
Oh, sorry.
I hope I did.
Guys, if she didn't, it's... Oh, yeah, because we said Rita Hayworth in The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Did we say it's season 3, episode 9?
I think so.
I'll find out when I edit it.
Okay. All right, so our synopsis, our summary. Andy Dufresne. I'm so glad I watched this movie first. Let me tell you that first.
Andy Dufresne.
Yes, that's how I would have said his name the entire time. Is sentenced to 2 consecutive life terms in prison for the murders of his wife and her lover. And he's sentenced to Shawshank. While there, he forms friendships with Red and experiences brutality of prison life, adapts, helps the warden, and finds a way to cut his 2 life sentences down to 19 years.
I wonder how.
How did he do it? Our author is Stephen King, which is surprising. Like, when my dad and my uncle found out Stephen King wrote this, they were utterly shocked.
I feel like everyone's always shocked.
I was shocked.
Because I grew up knowing it was Stephen King's book, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Then you would be.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're doing this in October, or we were supposed mm-hmm. we were supposed to, at least.
Yeah. It was part of our October. Yeah. I forgot what I was saying.
Our Stephen King month.
Schedule.
Yes. So our director is Frank Darabont. Darabont?
Darabont.
Darabont. Sure.
I don't know. Sounds right.
Okay. Screenplay writer Frank Darabont.
He should do a lot more screenplays for adaptations.
I think so. He did very good. And I read it by myself, so no audiobook reader this week. I'm sure there is one out there, but I did not partake in it.
Yeah, this was your book that you read this... I almost said this week.
I mean, I guess.
Technically this week, yes, but...
Yeah, this season. I read this one.
I'm so proud of you.
I know. I read 2 this season. I got this one and Bad Mother's Handbook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is my second one.
That was so long ago. I forgot that.
I know.
Damn.
Oh. All right. So this book came out in 1982 in the book called Different Seasons. So this is a short story.
Isn't it in the magazine first?
I don't think this was this one. I think that was
Children of the Corn.
Which has not come out yet, so you gotta
next
cut
week
that.
Guys. You're like, you gotta cut that. I'm like, here, I'll help week. You.
That's hilarious. Oh no. All right, do whatever. Okay. So yeah, but now you can buy it as its own individual story
because it's so good.
It is. The movie came out October 14th, 1994. That is 12 years.
That's insane.
I know. That's a long one compared to these last few that I feel like we've been doing. I definitely can't remember.
Anyways.
So what'd you do first?
I was going to say I almost saw it. What does that even mean, Brie? I saw it first.
I also saw it first. Mm-hmm. I remember one of my old teacher friends, she found out I'd never seen this movie and she's like, that's unacceptable. And she sat me down and made me watch it. So I just sort of recently saw it. It was like 6-7 years ago. I mean, it's not recent, but compared to when did it come out? 90 something?
94.
Yeah.
We were 2.
Yeah. So I had my whole life to see it. Yeah. And,
and it took you this long.
Yep.
No, I think I was either in high school or college when I saw it. So it's not like I saw it when I was young.
So but... around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the content of the movie, it wouldn't be something you'd watch when you're young. So.
I mean, my dad didn't care about what I watched when I was a kid. So I watched a lot of things. So I would have watched this. I just think I watched Green Mile when I was a kid. And that's a really sad movie. And as a kid, it really it made me really sad.
I've never seen it.
It's on our list.
Okay.
But
I tied the two together because they're both prison movies. And so I think my brain was always like, oh, that's that really sad one.
Oh, got it.
And then
I don't want to watch that again.
Yeah. And then when I was older, I was like, oh, no, never mind.
It's different.
Yeah.
Okay. So why did we pick it?
Because this season, even though this season's very wonky now, guys, we are doing Amityville. Or we did Amityville? We're doomed.
No, we did.
We did it.
Stephen King.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, it comes out actually right before this one. And because we were doing that, I didn't want to make poor Allie read too many horror books, especially since in a season coming up, we're kind of overloaded in horror.
Oh, gosh.
So I was like, we're still going to stick to our Stephen King month, but I got to give her a softball.
Thanks.
Yep.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. All right.
One of his only softballs.
I know.
Now we're kind of, actually, no, there's one more left, and I put it in with our horror-filled season.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Let's see. So that'll be probably next year then, right? Because if it's October.
Yeah, it's, what, season 6?
Okay. All right, you guys, let's do this.
Super fun facts.
We have fact numero uno. Andy and Red's opening chat in the prison yard, which Red is throwing the baseball, took 9 hours to shoot. Morgan Freeman threw the baseball the entire time, and he didn't complain at all. And he showed up for work the next day with his left arm in a sling.
That's, first off, insane. I can't imagine throwing a baseball for 9 hours straight.
I'd hate everything.
I would actually love that.
I would
have fun.
I would complain. So good job, Morgan Freeman.
That's why he's Morgan Freeman and you're not.
Speaking of Morgan Freeman, we started to watch, it's on Netflix. It's like a new nature documentary. It's like Our World or whatever.
With Morgan Freeman.
With Morgan Freeman narrating. And I saw on TikTok some bloopers that I don't know if are accurate, but they match up so well. I think they are. And he just starts cracking up when these weird little creatures come onto the screen. Oh my gosh, it was so cute.
I love him.
Anyways. So number two, Stephen King never crashed. Let's try that again. Stephen King never cashed his $5,000 check. $5,000 to the right of the
insane.
Film. That's it. I mean, it was 90 what?
Oh, it was 94. So that's,
I gotta
actually
look at how much is that?
$10,149 today.
So not too much more.
I mean, it's doubled.
Right, but like, I would think. Do authors not get a lot?
No.
No. Oh. They write the whole story and they don't get a bunch of money for it?
Mm-hmm.
What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because.
Like, it exists because of them, but they're like, here, you get a penny.
And that's all they get. They don't get money when the movie's out.
Right. They don't get
they
royalties
just get
or anything.
For the rights. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucks. So they had to have a very good agent or con. And
but
this
I mean,
was probably one of his
I mean,
earlier movies, too.
I mean, it's like, you love the movie, you go read the book. So they I guess
that's
it's,
true.
It's like promotion.
That's true.
And then it's cool to see your characters on screen.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, I guess.
Plus, okay. I bet you now when he signs a deal to get, like, one of his books is quite a few of his books are TV shows now. And I am assuming that got him a good chunk of change.
I'm sure Stephen King now gets
way
everybody's
more.
Like, yeah. We would love to make your books. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure it's definitely. But anyways, so he never cashed his $5,000 check. And several years later, King got it framed and he mailed it to Frank Darabont with the note inscribed, in case you ever need bail money. Love, Steve.
Cute.
That's so cute.
Very cute.
I hope he still has it. What if Frank cashed it?
It was framed, right?
It was framed and it would be Stephen King's name on it. I guess that wouldn't work.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna
good point.
Cash this for me.
Let me cash this out right now.
Oh, really? Okay. Number three. To prepare for his role as Andy Dufresne, Tim Robbins actually spent some time in solitary confinement.
He asked to be locked up for a while to get the good feel of it, although he knew his experience wouldn't be able the same because it was voluntary. But no way.
I would hate that.
I would hate it.
Even, I mean, that's why I'm not an actor. I couldn't be a method actor for sure.
Nope. Okay, number four. The mugshots of the young looking Red are attached to his parole papers. Those are actually pictures of Morgan Freeman's younger son, Alfonso.
Cute.
Yes, he had a cameo in the movie as a con saying, fresh fish today.
I like how you just said it.
Isn't that how he said it?
I mean, he did, but you said it like... like you.
Oh. I wonder why. Okay, number five. Despite the film's box office failure...
What?
That's insane.
I know.
Warner Brothers shipped 320,000 rental copies to U.S. video stores. I had to, like...
Allie is, like, using her hand to emphasize her point and help her read
it. Yes, I am. A Figure spokesman freely admitted that it was out of whack with the out of whack? Is that the most 90s?
Like, yeah. Let's talk about that. Whack. That's so, kind of like... John has taught me that everyone in Boston, the term that they call for, like, super cool or whatever is wicked. That's wicked. And then when I was over there, that's all I heard.
It's wicked, bro. Yeah. Isn't that what they say?
Bro,
what did they say?
Wicked.
It's wicked. It's wicked awesome. Wicked, wicked sweet.
Wicked. What does he say? I don't know. Now you'll pick it up whenever he says it because he says
I've noticed it. No, I've noticed it. I watched, growing up, I watched Survivor. And so there was Boston Rob on it. He's one of the more famous survivors. And so he's from Boston. Mm-hmm. And he says wicked all the time. And now this season, there's a new Boston guy and he says wicked. And it's like, yes.
I was like, that's just so, that's whack.
And it was not normal because the film did so bad that they got that many rental copies. But the film became the most rented video of 1995 and one of the highest grossing video rentals of all time. Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Well, I bet you too. Everyone probably went to that movie thinking it was going to be true Stephen King. Like, give me that horror.
Oh, yeah. I know, because I wonder.
And then I bet you all the people who wouldn't normally go see a horror film didn't rent it or go and see it. So then they ended up renting it.
Probably. And then this one had too many good fun facts. So here's a sixth one for you. Stephen King has said that his original story was a culmination of all the memories he had from watching prison movies when he was a kid.
Cute.
Yeah, because I always wonder. I was like, did he do all this research? So I'm sure he did research, but it was also from just movies.
Movies.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Cool.
Good job, Stephen.
Yes.
Okay.
Ready. Are we ready to get started?
Yes.
So, book kicks off and there's details on Red, who's this guy who went to prison for murdering his wife. And he's the guy who could get you anything in prison. He's the one you'll want to be friends with. And he's here to tell us all about Andy Dufresne, who asked for Rita Hayworth, who is apparently a model back then that I didn't know of, or an actress. I still don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's a very famous actress.
Okay.
Let me Google it for us. I wish it like popped up. Oh, there we go. She was in Gilda, The Lady from Shanghai, Cover Girl, Down to Earth, Only Angels Have Wings.
Very old movies. Well, yeah. That's right, because this movie, or this book took place in the 40s, right?
Yeah. I think so. Yep, 1947.
Okay. Okay, and so then we get some details about this Andy character and that he's in prison for killing his wife and her lover. And all of this info seems to be all the evidence seems to be pointing at Andy for committing the murder. But he's very calm and he's like, nope, I didn't do it. And the jury's like, nah, you did, and sent him to prison.
So the movie starts with Andy's trial. And so, like, in the book, it's all from Red's point of view, but in the movie, we're with Andy, essentially. I just had to say that Tim Robbins was so well during his trial scene, because Andy's basically this cool, calm, collected dude who makes people not think that he killed his wife because he's so cool and calm and collected. And Tim Robbins plays it so well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, a lot of my notes are just little like things that like weren't in the book, but could honestly have just been in the book, just not something that Red thought to tell us about. Because first off, Red doesn't tell us about murdering his wife in the movie until a little bit later. And in the start, when Andy is coming into prison, all the prisoners are placing bets on all the different newbies who are coming in to see how long they'll last in the prison. Mm-hmm. And I said, nice added touch.
Yeah, like that fresh fish line that we were saying. I don't think mm-hmm. that was mentioned in the book at all.
No.
Yeah. But it made it feel like a prison movie. So.
Yeah. You can go.
Okay. Because I think what we need to say, too, is that this book is written in chunks of events almost.
Yeah, that's a good
the
point.
The movie made it a story and flow together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they'll take...
From start to finish.
Yeah, and they'll take characters from the book that didn't really have really anything major. Like, we'll be talking about, what was his name, Brooks, in a little bit up mm-hmm. here. But in the book, he wasn't anyone. It was just, there was a guy with a bird. And so then in mm-hmm. the movie, they turned it into a story.
What's funny, that's literally my next note.
Oh, okay.
Good job.
Oh, thanks.
Also, like, to piggyback off of that, my other note right after that is that it's in the movie, it's told in the present tense, like Red is living it right now, whereas in the book, Red is out of prison and reflecting on his time in jail.
Actually, for the first chunk,
oh yeah, he's still in prison,
but
and
like
then he's
like,
out of prison.
It's been years and years and years.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's all past tense, and he's like, I just got to tell you about my friend Andy Dufresne. All
right. So Red went and explained the process of how you have to go, like, to the board. I don't know what they're called.
I was going to call them the parolees, but that's what the prisoners are called when they get it.
Yeah, it's the people who
grant
parole.
Yeah.
And he's like, if you have murder stamped on your name, like, it's real hard to get parole, which, you know, I'm glad.
Honestly is also really sad, because if you listen to My Favorite Murder, that is not the case.
Oh, that's not great.
Yeah, more often than not, the people who you would want locked up for way longer are the people who get off at like out in 6 months on good behavior.
Ugh.
Yeah, and everyone's always like,
so glad our justice system works so well.
Oh yeah, they really are there for us. They really think that people can change that quick.
Yep. All right. Well, here we go. Okay, so a fellow inmate found a bird and took care of it. That's the, like... Oh, and then a week after he walked free, the inmates found the bird dead because it had starved because this poor guy did not take care of it. So that's the whole Brooks story that we basically get. And so I like how the movie...
Yes. In the movie, you see Brooks, and he's this guy who's got this bird in his shirt, and he's always feeding it and stuff, and he does let it out. But then it parallels with him when he's released, he gets let out, and kind of like the bird was in confinement and was dependent on Brooks for survival and then died because he didn't have Brooks anymore. And Brooks had become dependent on the jail and the justice system and wasn't adjusting well to society. Mm-hmm. And so he ends up taking his life.
Yes.
But that happens way later in the movie.
Yes.
But it is nice to get, like, I really liked, there were a few characters where we just got snippets in the book, but in the movie we actually saw a fleshed out storyline.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Andy talks to Red for the first time. He's like, hey. You're the guy that can get stuff, right? I would like a rock hammer. He doesn't say it like that. He says a nice, calm, cool Andy type mm-hmm. of demeanor.
Which, can I just say, how Tim Robbins plays it too. He does it so well that you almost believe that he did kill his wife because of how cool and calm and collected he is, even in jail.
Right. Yeah. He's just, it's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. He did really good.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a little easier when you know you didn't kill him and it is.
I mean, I don't think so, because I think a lot of people would be freaking out, like crying, like, I'm not supposed to be here, I know who did it, or like, I have a lead, like, help me. And he's just like, well, I'm here.
I kind of meant Tim Robbins as an actor.
But yeah. That makes sense. The character.
Yes. Okay, so Andy's asking Red for a rock hammer because he likes rocks. And Red explains that the rules of getting stuff. And if you get caught, you don't know me. And basically, if he says Red's name, he will. He's dead to Red. Dead to Red. And then he talks about how Andy's having trouble with the sisters. And the sisters are like the prison... The typical what you think of prison nastiness going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're just not good guys. And poor Andy is
their target because he's fresh meat.
Yeah. And he gets beaten up a bunch. But eventually they get beaten up. And he's like, never touch me again.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay.
They get beaten up by Andy.
Yeah. And Andy always fought for himself. He never just gave in. He never was just like, oh, okay, get it done with.
The main difference here is Andy doesn't ask Red for a rock hammer. He is asking for rocks because he wants to make a chessboard. I'm like, how is that going to help you? And where do you get the rock hammer?
He didn't ask for the rock hammer at all.
Mm-mm. Because he starts with talking about rocks. Maybe he does later. But I don't remember him asking for it.
Oh.
And then he's just got one in his Bible.
So.
Watch us have to recap and fix that.
I know. Let me look it up right now. Because I just can't believe that. Because that's like such a key part.
Yeah, I know. Oh, wait.
Oh, shit.
No, I remember. He does. It doesn't happen. It's not the first thing he asks Red for. It's like the second or the third. Because then I remember Red actually unrolling it and being like, oh yeah, you can't kill anyone with this. But first he's asking about rocks to make a chessboard.
Okay. I'll take it. Yeah. I just was like,
how can you not ask?
Right? Like, that's like the key thing.
How did you get out? My bare hands.
Okay. Now, Andy's asking for Red for some rock blankets, which are like, I imagine, like kind of like steel wool, but not.
I was just going to say, I would think of it as a...
Like sanding paper or something. And because he's shaping his rocks. And Andy had him also get him a poster of Rita Hayworth. And he was super squirmy when he asked about this one, which Red was just like, does he feel awkward asking for a woman poster? And we also find out that the guards know about this black market, but they let it slide because they're like, whatever, as long as people aren't getting shanked.
So here is where he asks for the rock hammer, because he doesn't ask for rock blankets in the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just asks for the rocks to make a chessboard, and then he asks for the rock hammer.
So now we learn about the wardens. And this is one of the main differences, I think, from the book to the movie.
Yes, absolutely.
As it makes sense why the movie did not do it this way, though.
But also I think it would help show the progression of time.
True.
But
we wouldn't connect to the character as much because, for example,
yeah, true.
The wardens, they talk about many different wardens that have been at Shawshank because...
Why do you want to connect to the character? Oh, I guess I see why, but that's stupid.
He's the main bad.
He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
All of them are.
I know, but I don't know. I think, and then, you know, saving money on actors.
That was probably it.
So, because there's a bunch of different wardens, but the warden that is in the movie is a
combination of the
like
three.
He has points and bits of all of them. So then we learn about the retarring the roof thing. And so he's like, the guards, they pick some inmates to retar the roof. And Andy and Red and a couple others were up there tarring it. And they heard about this one guard is complaining that his brother is dead but the government's taxing his money and all this sort of stuff. And Andy steps in and he's about to get thrown off this roof because this guard's like, you're talking to me, get back to work. And Andy's like, I just want to give you advice. I know how you can keep all of his money. And the guy's like, He's like, I just want beers, 3 beers for all my guys back there. And he's like, okay. And Andy didn't drink, but he smiled because all his friends were drinking. And he's like, oh, I helped him.
And that basically happened. The only difference is, like Ali said, the warden is one character, not many different ones.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now we learn about Brooks more. So, like, Brooks wasn't even the bird guy, unless I just didn't say that.
Oh, you're right. No, they kind of just mushed two characters together.
Okay. So we learn that he is the librarian and he just got released. And he was really sad to go because he had been there for, what, 50 years or something like that?
Yeah.
And so he doesn't know how, as Bree said, he can't adjust outside and he ends up dying at home because I don't think it ever said in the book.
Red reads a note that Brooks left. So I assume it's a suicide note.
Right. That's what I thought too.
But it's not flat out stated like it is in the movie.
Yeah. Or shown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Shown. For real.
Yeah. Andy took over the library and he was like the best prison librarian ever. He got, he started doing taxes for all the guards, which ended up, he also started getting money for the library because he would be writing the state to get library money. He was just like involved. And Andy and Red spoke about how he's dealing with dirty money when he's dealing with these guards because he's getting them, you know, the best they can, but finding loopholes and like, yeah. And he's like, Andy's like, Mom, it's okay. I got a moral compass. I know what I'm doing. And it spoke about how Andy's always been alone in his cell, except for one time, and that didn't last very long. And this his companion was like, it's always cold in there. There's a draft. And he didn't like
crazy.
Yeah, he didn't like to be in there with Andy. And Andy liked to be alone. And the guards liked Andy happy.
Mm-hmm. This happens. But in the movie, Andy also then kind of feels untouchable and like he can do whatever he wants. So like one day he decides to turn music on for the guys when he sees that the guards are out of their office where they have control of the intercom. So he goes and locks himself in there and plays music. That gets him solitary confinement. So obviously he's not untouchable, but Andy's like, eh, whatever. And then Andy, to show his gratitude for Red, plus to kind of build their relationship, because in the book you can tell that they're kind of like, they grow to be friends, and in the movie there's not a whole lot between them that happens for the relationship to grow, but Andy ends up getting Red a harmonica just because.
Aww.
Yeah, but also that kind of goes against the book because Red's the guy who gets stuff.
I know. So now Andy's got another guy.
Yeah. So I'm like, who did you go to for that?
Two-stepping on Red. Yeah. Stepping out.
Hey, so we're buddies, but I got this other dude.
And also in the movie, there was never anyone in Andy's cell with him.
Oh, like, yeah.
Andy
good
was
point.
Always
Andy
alone.
Was always alone. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we learn a bit more detail about the warden. So the first warden was Dunahay, and he left due to a scandal. And then Stamis took over, and he had the infirmary filled all the time. And then he had to leave because he did a crime that could throw him in Shawshank. So he's like, I gotta go. I think it was getting people beat up. Right? That was his crime.
Was that it?
I don't know. I don't remember. Okay. And then we have Hadley, who had a heart attack and retired 2 years before that. So, like, it's just, and really, like we said, this warden in the book squished
in the movie.
Squished them all together.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And you'll find out how at the end.
Yep. Oh, and speaking of, it's another warden. Gosh. Yeah. Norton,
he had this Inside Out program that put cons in situations that they can work in public to build character. Some people liked it and some didn't. So some people paid him to say, don't send your cons to me. Some people paid him because they're like, yeah, we would love them to come help us. So Norton was getting lots of money and Andy was helping him maintain it. And so...
So that kind of happens in the movie. Mm-hmm. Just with the one warden rather than with the fourth warden.
And so now there's this new kid named Tommy. And he's new to Shawshank. And he's working on his GED. And Andy's helping him because he's the librarian. He's like, here, I can help you. And he's asking around. Or he asked Andy what he's in for. And Andy's like, oh, I'm innocent. And then he's asking. Wait, did he? He's asking around.
Tommy's asking around.
Let me restart this. God. I had it right the first time and I went back and I got it wrong.
That happens.
So Tommy's asking around to figure out why Andy's in, because he seems like a good guy. And he finds out because he murdered this guy named Quentin and his wife. And Tommy's like, no freaking way. Guess what? I just came from a prison where this guy killed Quentin and this girl and the guy who he blamed it on, or not even blamed it on, but just was in the
framed it on
was in the bat wrong place, wrong time. He's in Shawshank. And it's like, Andy immediately went to the warden. He's like, we got to fix this. And the warden's like, no. nah, you're stuck here. Sorry. And Andy's getting pissed. And so he's thrown into solitary. And so we learn all about solitary and how like sucky it is. And so Andy tried to figure out why the warden didn't want to hear him out. They're good pals. I mean, minus, you know, he gets thrown in solitary and like all the normal like
prisoner stuff.
Yeah. But for the most part, they're working good together. And then he's like, fine, I'm just going to hire a lawyer and Tommy will help me out. But we find out that Tommy is transferred out and Andy's like, I'm done doing money with you then. And the warden was not okay with that. He's like, it's done when I say it's done. And that's when Andy's like, because I know all this crap about you.
Yep.
And he got 30 more days in solitary.
So in the movie, when Tommy is telling his story about how he met that guy in prison, he's telling it to both Andy and Red. And I understand why in the movie they do this, because in the book, Red only gets it through hearsay. It's never like a for sure thing. And in the movie, it had to be like, Red's our main character, so it would make more sense for him to be in the scene too, to hear that story. And then we get a whole extra scene where this couldn't be what happened in the book, because again, we don't know. Red wasn't there to see it. But the warden tells Tommy he's getting transferred, but then he goes out and gets killed. Tommy gets killed.
Tommy, I was really sad about that.
I know, he was a sweet little kid.
I know.
I mean, he wasn't little, but he was a sweet kid.
Yeah.
Who was a criminal.
That's true. That poor murderer. Aww. Or whatever he did.
I think he was just a thief.
I think so. Like Grand Theft Auto or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So Andy told Red all about him and his friend have this money set up. It's under a fake name. And once he gets out, it's under a hidden rock. And he wants to live like in the sunshine on a beach, and this is everything he wants to do when he gets out of here. And Red's just like, okay, like
good luck. This isn't a thing that happens.
And so then we learn about Khan's trying to escape, and there have been obviously many trying. And Red told us that during his stay, 14 of them tried.
Damn.
And they were all caught. And there was one, he kept pawning off his ideas to others. He had 400 different ideas on how to escape. And he's like, you should try this. You should try this.
What a smart dude. He's like, it's probably not going to work, but I really want to see if it
takes. Exactly. But since he's been there, 10 have succeeded and gotten out. So, I mean,
your odds are kind of good. Yeah. not great, but
right,
not impossible.
I also said that 14 wrong. Not 14 tried to escape. It was 14 tried to escape during a construction gig that were at.
Yeah.
So like they're all out and they're like, let's run.
We caught this.
Then they all start running and all 14 were caught.
Oh shit, guys. So in the movie, when Andy is telling Red about his future plans, he doesn't tell Red that he has money or that he had a fake name set up for him. So that stays secret. And he tells Red to just go find this field that has an oak tree.
All the clues he gets.
Uh-huh. Plus, like, why isn't he telling him about his money? Why is he just telling him, when you get out, you should go find a field with an oak tree? What, to go sit under? Okay.
He did tell him to look for a rock. I mean, he had that extra clue, too.
No, not in the movie.
Uh-huh. In the movie, too.
Oh. Did he say it?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I don't think so, because I wrote the note. The field has an oak tree, not a rock.
He didn't go on a rock wall. There was an obsidian rock at the oak tree.
Mm-hmm. That was a book nod, but he doesn't say to look for the rock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Whereas in the book, he specifically says there's a
rock.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's different than all the others.
Okay.
This one was just look for the oak tree.
Got it.
I was like, what the hell?
Okay. So now Andy escapes and he didn't turn up in his cell when they sent him out to breakfast, and they're double checking. And when they find out it's Andy, the warden flips and he's questioning everyone. They went and checked his cell 12 hours later, and finally they find a hole behind the poster. And this is at least now 20 hours after he escaped.
Mm-hmm.
And Norton is pissed. He's like, go down there, to one of the guards. And he's like, no, I'm not going down there, because it's like a tight, tight hole.
Mm-hmm.
And he fired that guy. And then another guard went down there and he's walking through sewage and he starts throwing up. And Red is laughing his butt up. I wish that happened.
I know. That would be so fun.
Oh my gosh. And he got 15 days in solitary because of that. But then we get more details, and this pipe is so tiny. Andy must have barely fit in it. And Norton ended up leaving 3 months later, and the guy that he fired ended up taking his place as new warden.
So in the movie, after Andy has told Red to go look for the tree, all of the other prisoners are starting to like get worried because they're like, I hear Andy's been asking for rope and asking for this and asking for that. And so the prisoners now think that Andy is going to kill himself, which is a big change, because throughout the whole book, Red keeps saying that this is not something Andy would do. I just know it. I can tell when someone's thinking that. And that's not what Andy's thinking. But in the movie, Red's like, oh my gosh, I think you're right. So then, now that everyone thinks that Andy's killing himself, we see Andy getting ready to leave. And so he's helping the warden one last night with his money books, like whatever they're called. They're called the books, but they're like,
receipts and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And the warden then, why does the warden leave Andy alone with all of that? That's my question. I'm like, are you that dumb? Because warden's like, all right, lock up once you're done. Don't you also want to walk him to his cell to make sure he goes in his cell?
Right.
Like, he could have just walked out there. Like, so then, as Andy is locking everything up, he steals the warden's shoes for some reason and puts them on because he wants to wear the warden's shoes that he just had to shine. He also ends up taking the books that he was keeping at the jail with all of the criminal money activity, which is not something Andy does at all in the book, because Andy's very much like, I'm making my peace. This is what you guys did. I'm out of here. Then in the movie, his hole wasn't into the sewer. It was like into the walls, and then he got on a sewer pipe. And then he had to wait for lightning to crash for him to hit a rock on the pipe for him to break through. Which I'm like, how do you plan a thunderstorm?
By very good
luck.
Yes. Hollywood magic.
Yes. Good job, Hollywood. Then, once Andy is out, he ends up stealing the warden's money, which, again, you just left. You're an ex-con who's not really a con, and now you're going to be a con.
Right.
And then he leaves the warden his Bible that shows his pick, his little rock pick cut out of the Bible.
Oh, because we never said that this warden is super,
super religious.
Yeah. And he's like always promote. He has like Bible quotes on his wall and everything. That wasn't really a book thing so much.
Movie thing.
No, that wasn't really a book thing. That was a movie thing.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
For some reason, I thought it was a book thing with Norton. I think it's like one line.
Oh, okay.
That Red says about him being basically a Bible pusher.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's not anything.
But like, it's not like the movie.
Yeah,
where it's
yeah. Over and over and over. Yeah. Yeah. So then, because Andy has taken all the books with him with all the money stuff, he has shown people, or he sends it off to the right people so that the cops come to the warden to arrest him. But when the warden sees that, he ends up killing himself.
Mm-hmm. So Red is still in prison. So he's been writing this whole book. It took him a year, but he's been writing it. I skipped a big chunk, didn't I? This is my favorite part of the book.
I know, that's why I was like.
It's the puzzles. It's all of it clicking together. And so now, as it is told from Red's point of view, it's not a, this is what happened. He's like, so I think that Andy one day accidentally chipped his wall. And he's like, wow, that's really easy. So he asked for a rock hammer. He starts chipping away. And then he got really squirmy because he's like, oh, I need to cover this. And that's why he asked for the Rita Hayworth poster. And oh, that his old cellmate that said there was a draft. Duh, there's a hole in his wall. And it's so it was like all of these Red figuring it out, but he was very clear that this is what
he didn't know
happened.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Now back to where I was. Red is still in prison. And so he's written this whole story from prison. And but then he gets and like he wrapped it up. He's like, that was done. I'm done with that book. But then he gets a postcard from Andy. Quote unquote Andy, because it signed whatever Andy's fake name was that he told him. And then so he starts writing again. And a year later, Red gets parole and he's describing his day-to-day life and how it's hard to adapt. And he's asking to go to the bathroom at the supermarket where he works. And they're like, don't ask us, just go. And all this like complete mind switch of you're not in prison anymore. And not knowing how to work in society. And he decided his new hobby is trying to find this rock that Andy told him about. And as we mentioned, there's something under this rock. And he's like, yeah, I'm never going to find it. I mean, like, how many fields are there and how many rock walls are there in all of wherever they are?
That's why I'm like in the movie. How many fields do you know with a freaking oak tree in it? I don't know.
Before the internet.
Yeah.
And so.
Goodness, poor Red's like, let me just go to all the fields.
And so, but one day he found it and there's a note with, well, because also looking, he's like, okay, one, am I ever going to find it? And two, even if I do find it, like.
What's going to be there?
Yeah, like, it might be gone by now.
Yeah, someone probably took it.
Yep. But it wasn't. There was a message from Andy inviting him to come work in his business, and it included 20 $50 bills. And Red ended up heading that way, and he hoped that he could find Andy.
And so the movie ends like that, except for you actually see Red finding Andy.
And I'm glad. I like the wrap up.
Mm-hmm. It's cute.
Yes. Okay.
We did it.
Yes. So, IMDb cast. 74 people for this movie.
Makes sense.
Yep. First, we have Tim Robbins as Andy Dufresne.
Love him.
Yes.
He's such a good actor.
No, he did great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Morgan Freeman plays Red.
Love
Oh my him. Gosh.
I mean, okay, so one of the other main differences here, guys, is Red is supposed to be this like Irish dude with red hair.
Yeah.
But it's Morgan Freeman, which is why Morgan Freeman ends up saying the line about how he's Irish or something like that. I can't remember what he says in the movie, but that's why he says that. But I love Morgan Freeman.
I know. It would have been weird for him not to be that role.
Mm-hmm. He was born for this role.
Yes. Bob Gunton is the warden, Warden Norton.
He did really good.
He did. He was a really good bad guy.
Very good bad guy, yeah. Mm-hmm. He played the three wardens very well.
Yes, definitely. So then we have Clancy Brown as Captain Hadley, who's that main guard that's almost threw Andy off the roof.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. Also a good jerk.
Uh-huh, yep. Then we have Gil Bellows as Tommy.
Oh, yeah. I loved him. Yeah. He was sweet. Like I said, he was a young kid.
His New York Italian accent. Hey, hey, hey. Mamma mia.
No, here that's I go more. Again.
I'm allowed to do that. I'm Italian. And my mom's from New York. Okay. So we have Mark Rolston as Boggs Diamond, who is the main sister, the bad guy, the bad, icky,
gross guy.
Gross guy. He was creepy too.
Oh, he was. He seemed like a real felon. Uh-huh. I was like, who did they hire for this movie?
Real felons. Then we have James Whitmore as Brooks. I love him.
He was so sweet. Yeah, I liked him a lot.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is the theme of the book of the movie the same?
Yes, it is.
Definitely.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Do the characters stay true to how they are written in the book?
No.
I think for the most part, except for those one couple things.
Yeah.
Andy, right? Is that Andy your main one?
Red.
Red?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that one part with
and
Red.
I guess the warden, too.
Well, yeah, because the warden's...
is three.
Three.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of. In the middle.
Yes.
Which do you prefer?
I liked the movie. I mean, I liked... they were both so similar that it's like...
hard to pick.
It's hard to pick because they were like the exact same. I just liked seeing the whole story play out and like the start to finish versus like chunks of different stories, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but again, they were both really good.
I prefer the book.
Oh, okay. Why?
Because I actually just like, I liked reading the prison life a little bit more. And I love this movie, don't get me wrong. I'll sit down and watch it. But, like, to me, for this story, I really just liked reading it more.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I also think the little puzzle when puzzle Red's chapter. Just like, I think this is how this happened.
I know, that was way cool.
All right, guys.
Okay. So, this coming up week in our crazy
new schedule.
Season 3, season 4. Mess. We have four on our Monday episode, season four episode.
Looking for Alaska. Let's see how Allie liked that John Green story.
Ooh, I wonder. Mm-hmm. Come tune in and find out.
Yeah.
And then on Wednesday, we have a mini-sode for you.
Yeah, how exciting.
Yeah, come check in on our lives.
See what's going on.
Because you didn't get enough mini-sodes last season.
Actually... We have a fun minisode coming up for you next week.
What?
We talked about it in Allegiant. We're going to watch
next
the Castle Rocks.
Oh, and that's compare right. them
to, we're going to need to make a note of this for ourselves. But yes, we're going to watch Castle Rock. First season actually compares to Shawshank. And the second season, the characters are all about misery. So we're going to watch that and tell you... what we think.
Okay, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So with that, the Shawshank Redemption went off script. But bye. Not really.
Not really at all.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.